Well, this morning we are going to be looking, starting into the book of Philippians. And everybody's going to turn to Philippians, and I'm going to tell you to turn someplace else. Because anybody know where Philippians kind of starts? In the book of Acts. Okay, in the book of Acts. So this is just an introduction to the book of Philippians. Introductions are one of the harder things that I normally do. I like just getting into the book and going through the book. So introductions are one of those things that are harder for me to do, but it is good to have a background of how the church got started in Philippi. And the city there of Philippi was a Roman colony. So that just means that if you lived in that city, if you were a citizen there, you were a Roman citizen. So that gave you some rights. Not everybody that lived in the Roman Empire was a Roman citizen. It's not quite the same as, you know, well, it's quite a bit the same as our country today. Not everybody that lives in the United States is a citizen. In fact, there's getting to be, I don't think anybody could tell you how many people live here probably that aren't citizens. There's probably no way of telling that. But Rome did try and keep track of that through different ways. But anyway, Philippi was a Roman colony. And that meant they had all the rights of those living in Rome. Basically, you had the same rights as those living in Rome. And that made a big difference. Before we go any further, let's just pray for the message and then we'll continue on. Father, thank you for the day that we could come and bring our request to you for your help in understanding the Word of God. Lord, help me as I dig into the book of Philippians here starting next week. Give us understanding. Give us, help us to be more like you. Help us to want to serve you more. Help us to want to reach out to those around us to tell them more about our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for those who have come out today. Pray that you would bless, help us to be obedient as your Holy Spirit works in our hearts. Help us to want to change, to be more Christ-like. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking in Acts 16. For those of you who aren't there yet, we're going to be looking in Acts 16. The population of Philippi consisted largely of Roman military personnel. So, they were either retired legionnaires or officers who made it their permanent home. It was a city that it was named after Alexander. I'm trying to remember here. Alexander the Great's father, I believe. You've all heard of Alexander the Great, Philip of Macedon, I think. I'm not sure if I got the right last name there, but it was named after him, and so that's why it's Philippi, okay? So that's where the name of the city comes from. The Jewish community seems to be quite small because there's no synagogue there. Where they went to meet, there was no synagogue. In fact, the ladies, it seems to be just ladies who went out and sat by the river to worship. So it's a pretty small Jewish population. Now, in a city that is predominantly Roman, Romans were predominantly anti-Semitic, okay? They didn't like Jews that much. So that's why it could be that there weren't very many Jews living in that city. So Paul, along with Silas and Timothy and Luke, were on this trip. Luke wrote Acts, and we know that he was there because in verse 10 it says, "And after that he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia." So Luke was there. He says, "We endeavored to go." They were there. So Silas, Timothy, Luke, and Paul were on this missions trip. Acts 16, 6 through 10 tells us how God directed them to go to Philippi after other cities in that region. After being in the city for a number of days, they found a group meeting by the river. So let's read Acts 16, 6 through 10. It says, "Now when they had gone through Perga and the region around Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So after being in the city for a number of days, verse 13 says, they found a group of people. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which were resorted there. So this was the start of missions, okay? This was where kind of you, when we talk about missionaries, this is kind of when you take and say how is missions done, this is kind of how missions is done. They sent these four men, they were sent out from the church to go and reach communities. Now today we kind of send people out to a certain city. They just kind of went from city to city to city preaching the gospel. Okay. And being directed by God. So what are some of the keys to starting the church in Philippi? Well, first was that men had to be sent out. If you're going to start a church, there, men have to be sent out to do that work. And there were four guys sent here. Two that were sent out directly by the church, and they picked up two more along the way. Okay, so others said, that's something I want to be involved in. I want to get involved in that. And they were sent out from the church. Look at Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. And this is, they're in the church in Antioch now. They've come back from the Jerusalem council, where they were discussing whether or not circumcision and the law had to be followed for salvation. They've come back. Now they're back in Antioch. And Antioch is up the coast from Jerusalem, okay? It would be modern day, right around the border of modern day Syria. Okay, the northern border of modern day Syria. They're up there in Antioch at the church that's been established there. Verse 36 says, in some days, after Paul said unto Barnabas, let's go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So they've decided to do that. They determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but then there's some contention. I don't want to get into that. That's not the main purpose of the message. And then so Paul and Silas decide to go. In verse 40, and Paul chose Silas, and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So the church, what's that talking about? It's talking about the church in Antioch is sending out Paul and Silas to go to do what they've talked about, to go and preach the gospel in every city where they've already been. Plus, they had it in their mind to go to new cities. Okay, so we're going to go to, we've already been to these cities, we've preached the gospel, there's small groups being started, and we want to go and preach there again and kind of establish these new Christians and then go find more cities to preach in to preach the gospel. And notice they're recommended by the brethren. In other words, the church is sending them out. The church is saying, we're going to send Paul and Silas. We recommended them to do this ministry. And they're sending them out to do the work. So men being sent out by the church, that's important that men are sent out by the church. Number two, men obediently going to the work. First, Paul and Silas go and help the new churches becoming established. We see that in verse 40. They're going to go and help do that work. Then they pick up Timothy along the way and continue their work of establishing churches. Let's look at this message is a little different here because I'm just building a foundation to show you how Philippi came to be, how the church there came to be. So we're kind of building this story here in Acts that's already been given to us, show how this church is established. And so 16 verse 1 says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So as they're going out, they pick up Timothy. Now, again, the Jerusalem councils, you have to know the Jerusalem council, that's the decrees that they're bringing out now. The decrees that the church said, no, you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. No, you don't have to follow the Mosaic law to be saved. Those are the decrees that the church decided on in the Jerusalem council. And so the churches had had Judaizers come out and who were telling people, no, if you're going to be saved, you have to be circumcised. Okay, and the church said, no, that does not have to be. So that's what they're doing. They're delivering these messages, and they're going through these different areas doing that. Later, they add to the team for a short time Luke. He seems to join the team somewhere between 6-8, where he says, notice in 6-8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. So he's speaking as they were doing this. Then in verse 10, as we already read, it turns to we endeavored to go. So somewhere in there, Luke joins them on their missionary endeavor. He's deciding to help them. Later on in 17:1, they go on, and Luke seems to stay in Philippi. So Luke maybe is one of the reasons why Philippi had such a good foundation, is because it seems like Luke stayed behind in Philippi to help establish the ministry there. So we see them going out, men obediently going to the work. They're being sent out by the church. They're obediently going to the work. And then men who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit's working in their lives. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit's working in their lives. Let's look at Acts 16, verses 6 through 9. And I normally try not to cover this much scripture in a one message, but this is almost impossible without this. Now when they had gone throughout Perga and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysia, came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, it's kind of, if you look at those verses, you see the Holy Spirit just continually saying, no, go, no, don't go there. No, don't go there. No, I want you to go, no, here. I want you to go over here. So the Holy Spirit is guiding them all along the way. Do you have a note? Probably no, some of you probably don't even know. Do you have a Bible up in the Bible? Do you have a map in the back of your Bible? That most Bibles have a map, and if you find one that has many of them will have a map of the missionary trips. Okay? My Bible actually has one right on that page. Makes it really nice for me. It's right there on the page. So, and it shows you kind of the route. They were all the way down here in Jerusalem. Okay? And then the Jerusalem church sends them out and they go all the way up to Antioch. Okay? They've traveled all the way up here and then Antioch sends them out on this missions trip. Okay? And it says here that in verse 6, now when they had gone through Perga, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, different Bibles might have different ideas of what Asia is, but modern-day Turkey, and if your Bible has modern-day Turkey there, Asia is probably over here on the coastline, kind of around maybe Ephesus and Laodicea and Sardis, kind of that area to the west of where they would have been. Holy Spirit says, no, I don't want you to go there at this time. Now, did Paul eventually go there? Yes, he did. And eventually, almost all those communities had a church. But God's time wasn't right for Paul to go there. See, sometimes it's a right thing to do, but God's timing isn't right. And so God says, no, I don't want you to go there. And then they're heading up. Then they just basically head north from there. They are now in Mysia, which is the far northwest corner of modern day Turkey. So on your map, Mysia is kind of the top west side, northwest side of your map. And so they're heading up over into here, and they said, you know what? Let's go east. Let's go over into Bithynia. And guess what? The Holy Spirit says, nope. I don't want you to go there. Now he doesn't say how he said not to go. But he says, no, that's not where I want you to go either. So they were going to head east. God says, no, don't go there. Can you see how I'm saying these men were open to the Holy Spirit's leading in their life? I mean, all along the way, as they're going, they're like, I being in the way the Lord led me. Who was that? Abraham's servant is going out and finding his son a wife. And it said, I being in the way the Lord led me. What's that saying? They were on the way. They were going to do what God wanted them to do. And as they were going, God directed their path. See, some people want to sit at home. They want to stay in Jerusalem and say, oh, God will lead me someday. A lot of people say, well, God's calling me into ministry, and they just stay in Jerusalem and they wait for somebody to drag them to someplace. No, they said, you know what? God wants us to go out. God wants us to do the work. And we're going to be obedient and go to do the work. And as they were on the way, the Lord led them to where he wanted them to go. So he says, don't go to Bithynia. So about the only direction they had was to head toward Troas, which is right on the coast. So they get to Troas, and as they're passing by Mysia, and came down to Troas, they're right on the coast, and a vision appeared, verse 9, to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So this time we're told that Paul has this vision in the night and directly told to go over into Macedonia, and that's crossing that Aegean Sea and ending up over in Neapolis and then to Philippi, which is modern day Greece. Okay, so where's the gospel going now? To what continent? Europe. The gospel. Now, Paul might not be the first to have ever preached the gospel in Europe, but it's the first we know of the gospel going to Europe. And so that's an important step, isn't it? The gospel. Where are most of your forefathers probably from? Europe, right? Most of our forefathers, I mean, I'm British and German. Europe. You know, probably most of you, your forefathers are from Europe. Isn't that important for us? Isn't that a world-changing thing that God did there? He's saying, I want the gospel to go to Europe. That's an amazing thing. When you stop and think about it, what God is saying. God is directing these people to minister to people who might eventually be our ancestors. And I realize maybe not many of us are Greek, but that gospel would just continue to spread up into. So this is a very important step. We don't often think of that, how important this is, the work that God chose for Paul to do. Because now the gospel is going to a completely different continent. And so, and just see this, they were, what did they do? Did they say, let's have a prayer meeting. Let's stop and get a committee going. You know, sometimes there's not time for a committee. Sometimes it's time to go. The Lord says we need to do it. And what does it say in verse 10? And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. And so they started trying to go. They endeavored. That means, I mean, it didn't just take, they had to find a ship to go on. They need to find a way to get across. They needed to make some connections, but immediately they started working toward it. Doesn't mean it happened right then, but immediately they started trying to do the work. So men who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. These men were out to do the work of spreading the gospel wherever God called. You know, there's a lot of young men and ladies going into places like China today to spread the work wherever God calls. They're willing to go. But you know what? Paul's wisdom was not enough on his own. I mean, how many of us would think, oh, if I'm going to rely on somebody's wisdom, I want to be on Paul's. But Paul had to be continually redirected by the Holy Spirit to do the right thing. He was wanting to do the right thing and wanting to do, his whole purpose was to do God's will. But he was continually redirected by God to go the right place and do the right thing. There are many distractions and directions that can be wrong turn in our lives. That's why we have to be continually open to the Holy Spirit's leading, because so many times we can be distracted. And, you know, Paul could have said, no, I think we should still go to Bithynia. What would that have done for the people in Europe? That would have been a mistake, wouldn't it? And I remember, it just reminds me of a time we had gone to Bible college. We'd spent a year in seminary and realized, with four kids, seminary wasn't going to work. I was working full time. I was working 20 hours at a church. And I was trying to take seminary too. And have, you know, help my wife with four kids, which wasn't much. When you go into seminary, you're working full time, you're working 20 hours for a church. We realized that's not going to work. So we moved back to Michigan from Minneapolis, where we were in seminary. Moved back to Michigan, and I couldn't find a job right away. And I was like, a friend of mine called me and said, hey, why don't you come down to South Carolina? I have a painting business and I'll hire you right away. We have so much work. I really didn't even consider what God wanted. It was just like, I want out of here. And I took off. We moved down to South Carolina. The van and a trailer, if I remember right. Maybe just the van. Everything that would fit. We had one of those big 79 Chevy van. You know, it was customized and somebody customized it. But it was one of those vans that probably still running if they kept it going, you know. But we drove down there in that old big blue van. And we got there. Just things weren't going right for us. I mean, we couldn't get a house. We couldn't. And right then we should have said, you know what? What God wants us to do. But we struggled and struggled and struggled. Finally got in a house. And it was the most miserable, how many months? That's what I thought. 4 months of our life. Well, one of the most miserable 4 months of our life. Up to that point, the most miserable 4 months of my life. You know, and my thought was, hey, I wanted to get more training. I could go to seminary at Bob Jones. We were living right there. It's a good place to live. Lots of good people. Lots of good friends there. My motives necessarily weren't wrong in going there. Good church we were going to. You know, good friends, decent job. But it only took a couple of months before we started, what's going wrong here? God didn't want us to leave Michigan. He wanted us to stay right where we were at. But this looked so good down here to us. And it looked like the answer. You know, just after I left, my mom got a call from somebody that had a job for me. You know, that if I'd have stayed there, the job was there. God wanted us back in our home church, where eventually, a couple of years later, we went out from our home church to be missionaries, to go to Canada. And we spent 17 years. Most of you know that. We spent 17 years there. Was going down there so I could take more training a wrong thing? No. Was having a job to provide my family a wrong thing? No. Was Paul wanting to go to Bithynia a bad thing? No. Everything he wanted to do was godly. But we have to remain so open to the Holy Spirit's leading, because we will get off track. We will go a wrong direction in our life, just like they could have here if they weren't open. So these men were very open to the Holy Spirit's ministry in their life. And God will direct us. Not only that, they were immediately obedient, as I said before, immediately obedient, verse 10 through 12. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. So they were immediately obedient. You know, when we first, sorry for the illustrations here, but it just, in my own life, I just see this being immediately obedient to what God wants you to do. When I first started thinking about doing something other than working at General Motors, we went up to a Christian camp on our way back from vacation. We stopped there to see if my wife's Bible had been left there. Wasn't, but I first started thinking, you know, I could work at a Christian camp and I could do something different. I could mow grass here and build buildings and that type of stuff. Came back home a few weeks later. We had a Gary Trometer, a missionary to Brazil, come to our church. And he preached a message. After that message, I was just like, Lord, it just seems like you're working in my heart to do something different. So I went to my pastor after the invitation and stuff and talked to him. He said, well, you should consider going to Bible college. And I was just like, me? I mean, I barely made it through high school. You know, and that's a high school that you don't have to do much to make it through. Much like many high schools probably are today. You know, you don't, as long as you show up, you get a passing grade. And you want me to go to college? So, okay. So that was in June. 3 weeks later, I got some vacation time and we're over in Wisconsin looking at two different Bible colleges. So 3 weeks from the first time to the missionary comes, and then 3 weeks later, we're in Wisconsin looking at Bible colleges. By November, I'd quit my job. We sold everything, and we're moving up to Bible college in northern Wisconsin. Never would have thought of doing anything like that in my life. I was what I called a factory rat. I mean, the things I had, I liked Jeeps and hunting and guns and fishing and all that stuff. I never thought about studying every day. Never even considered it. But when God called me, I'm amazing that I just said, okay, I'll go. I'll quit my job. When I think back at it, it's like God's leading me. God's directing me, because for me to just stop and leave everything, and that's what these guys were willing to do. Whatever you want us to go, Lord, wherever you want us to go, we're going. And we're just going to immediately obey what you want us to do, no matter what. They sought out likely candidates for witness in verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. So they found people who were already religious, already going out to the river for prayer, probably Jewish prayers, but it's a small group of women. But where would you start? Start with people who are already religious, people who already believe in God. So that's where they started. They found these, where these people were, and then they went there and started ministering to them. And you know what? Does God call you to do something if there's not a work to be done and he's not going to bring fruit from your labor? I think God says, you know, I'm going to give you fruit. It might not be a lot of fruit, but God, why did God call them there? Well, as we go on, because there's a rich lady and her family, and a Philippian jailer, a Roman jailer, and his family that were ready to believe the gospel. And probably others that are not mentioned. God called them, and it was the perfect time to go. So many times we might not go because, well, we gotta think on it so long, but this is the perfect time because God had a plan for them. He wanted them to go to do this work because He had an open door for ministry there. God opened the heart of this woman and her family. Look at verses 14 and 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. He was preaching the gospel. That's what they were stated that they were going to do. They were going to preach the gospel. Verse 10, you know, that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. The gospel, the good news of Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, the good news of salvation, that we can be saved. That's the good news. That's what he preached unto them. He preached unto them. He told them that they're sinners and that they needed Jesus Christ shed blood that he shed on the cross to pay the penalty for their sins. He preached the gospel. He told them of their need. And the Lord opened Lydia's heart. In other words, the Holy Spirit worked in her heart so that she would believe the things that Paul was saying. And so she was saved and her family. Middle of verse 14, which worshiped God heard us, Lydia heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, it's interesting here that she was saved. And what did she do immediately? She was baptized. If you look over, I don't think we're going to have time. I'm not going to get there today. But if you look over at the end of the chapter, where's the verse? I have it marked down. But verse 31, the Philippian jailer, verse 30, and he brought them out. He brought them out after the earthquake. And said, sirs, this is the Philippian jailer speaking, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. So they believed because they heard the word of God, okay? He spoke unto them the word of God. He didn't just say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He spoke unto them, he explained to them the gospel message. And that was the essence, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, washed Paul's and Silas's stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them unto his house, he set them, gave them something to eat. Guess what? How soon did they get baptized? Before he ever gave them anything to eat, even. He cleaned up their wounds. He did the very necessary thing, cleaned up their wounds from being beaten. You know what? Let's save the food for later. Let's go get baptized. They immediately were baptized before the day, because verse 35 says, and when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. So they were baptized immediately. I don't know how many Christians are out there that I've talked to, and I say, you should be baptized. Well, it makes you wonder if somebody's truly saved if they don't want to be baptized. Because these people were just immediately willing. It's the middle of the night, folks. And they said, let's go find a place to be baptized. Lydia, they're at the river. Probably she's like, well, we're at the river right here. Let's be baptized. Let me just say, if you're saved and you're not baptized, that's the first step of obedience. That's the very first step of obedience. A Christian, a person who's truly born again should say, I want to be baptized. I want to be in obedience. These people were immediately obedient to the Lord in believers' baptism. They were immersed in the water and were baptized. So God opens the heart of Lydia here. Going backwards here, God opens the heart of Lydia to the message of the gospel. And Lydia was already a worshiper of God, 16:14, which means that she was probably a Gentile, like Cornelius, the centurion, who believed in God but had not become a full convert to Judaism. You know, it just reminds us that our job is to be faithful in going where God wants us to go, faithful in proclaiming the gospel. And God, who opened the heart? God opened her heart. We need to be faithful at proclaiming the word. It's God that opens their hearts. And he does that when we're faithful. She not only made a profession of faith, she was baptized, and she offered her home. Now, we know that there's four guys, at least, that are traveling. We've been said that there's Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. And in verse 15 it says, and when she was baptized and her household, I mean all of the people in her house were believed and were baptized, she besought us saying, if ye have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. In other words, what she's saying, what that's saying is, if you think I'm a faithful person, I want to take care of you. In other words, I'm going to pay for all your needs. While you're here, you stay at my house. I'll feed you. My servants will take care of you. She was just like, this is exactly what needs to happen in this community, and I'm going to put up the bill to take care of it. I'm going to pay for you to be here, basically. I'm going to take care of all your needs so that you don't have to worry about a thing. When somebody invited into your house, then it was to take care of you and to abide there. And it seems like in verse 40, as you go to the end of the chapter, when Paul and Silas are leaving the city and Timothy are leaving the city, and they went out of the prison after they'd gotten out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. It seems that the church was meeting there by now as well. Not only were she putting them up, but it seems like that's where all the brethren had gathered, probably after Paul had been thrown into prison. Everybody came to her house. And it's possible that that's where they met from then on. It's not for sure, but it's just possible because they all come back there now to meet, and then they departed from there. And it seems like they leave Luke behind. What can we learn from that about Lydia? Well, we don't have time to learn what you can learn from Lydia. We're out of time. I'll just say this. Lydia, when she was saved, her money became the Lord's. Her house became the Lord's. It's like, whatever I have, whatever you need to do this work, I'm so blessed by being saved, whatever you need. On the other hand, we don't have time to get in the other hand. Those others who were against the gospel, those who threw Paul into prison, they were worried about their money being taken away. When somebody's saved, truly saved, everything belongs to God. Everything they have, they just say, it's God's. And it's just amazing. You look at the early church in Jerusalem. Were they worried about, most of them worried about their money being theirs? No, they were like, whatever the church needs. And I think it's telling sometimes that sometimes as Christians we worry more about what it's going to cost than we do about the ministry impact that we can have. The first thing that we should think about is not what does it cost, but what does God want us to do? Because God will take care of us. You know what? They went to Philippi. They didn't have a hotel. They didn't have a Comfort Inn lined up. They didn't have a reservation in Philippi saying, you know, this is where you thought you were done and start again. They didn't have a reservation at the Comfort Inn saying, yeah, we've got the church in Jerusalem put up $1,000. We're going to live there. No, they went there. And they were just going to, wherever God supplied for them. What did God supply for them? A rich lady's house to live in. God just over and over again in the book of Acts, we see God's Holy Spirit doing a work and people being obedient and their lives changed and ministry going forward. And next week, we're going to start in the book of Philippians that shows that Paul's letter that he wrote back to them when he was in prison. So by the time Paul writes back to them, he's in prison for preaching the gospel. And that's next week we'll start into the book of Philippians, which is that letter he writes back to this beloved church. Father, I thank you for all you've done for us. I thank you for the ministry here. I thank you for the ministry that Paul had to the people of Philippi, Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. Thank you for those faithful men who took the gospel to Europe. What an amazing thing that you would seek out those to believe, even in a place like Europe, which was full of pagans. I thank you for our ancestors who believed and came to this continent. And there were those who believed, and I thank you for this church and those who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to have faith to be more like Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. Be willing to do the work wherever you call us. Help us be open to the Holy Spirit's leading and immediately obedient as He calls. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.